Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena.
Morena.
How are you?
You know what? I should have brought us all gum to chew while we do this segment. We could have been blowing bubbles. You know, the nice pink one.
The big,
pink.
Hubba like Bubba.
Hubba Bubba.
Like
proper.
A comic.
Not that we should, you know, need to point out brands. But.
Yeah.
Or any
do they
other
even still
gum
make
flavor.
That? Do they still? I don't even know.
Yeah,
know,
they do. Grape.
It came in those rolls as well, like a weird like container.
Tube.
And me and my brother used to like have competitions to see who could make it last the longest, and I always won.
And you know what? I have never had that tape gum.
Yeah, that's the kind
stuff.
I'm talking
that's
about.
The
yeah,
stuff.
The sort of
I've
like,
never
it was,
had
like,
that.
Scrub
and
up.
Is that a proper
you know
your proper
what?
Pink bubble gum?
I'm gonna go ahead and say right now, you don't need to.
You don't.
I mean, just don't think it's that great.
It is when you're 5 years old.
And
though.
Then to
it's
disturb people,
exciting.
People that take it out and bite through the whole thing without rolling
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was my brother. That's him. He, yeah, absolute chaos energy.
So the reason we're talking about gum is we're doing a music called Bubblegum.
Who coined it that name? Do you have the answer to that
yes,
question?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes, I do.
Great.
And of course, like all genre, it's sort of contested and mysterious.
Right.
There's a song that had bubblegum in it and
what,
in the title.
Sound of someone chewing. Oh, right.
And so some that group, of course, claims it was named after them.
Got you.
Some people claim it was named after, you know, these producers that were trying to create music for sort of preteens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're talking 67 to the 72.
Okay.
And those of you who were not allowed back then can look back in history. And the music was quite serious then. You have like Bob Dylan and
yep.
The Doors and psychedelic and drugs and Vietnam
Ooh.
War. And, and so, you know, some people, you know, the younger ones
yep.
or just other people just wanted some sort of straight pop,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
was happy and had hooks and choruses and was silly. And it was just about romantic love. Now, the irony is, of course, because these songs do mention candy and food products, the drug people can enjoy it too.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one. Should we hit the first
yeah.
track test? What have we
I'm
got here?
Hit, I like this name, 1910 Fruit Gum Company with
Ooh.
Simon Says.
Yes, supposedly they looked at a wrapper, you know, on the floor.
That's where it came from.
That's what it said.
Okay.
They're like, how do we fit into this genre? I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to come right out and say it. Yeah, no. It's a no from me.
It's a no from Jess.
Yeah. It's people like what they like, and that's totally fine with me. But this, for me, personally, is a no.
The mix on this is really weird. The vocals are coming straight through one ear, and the backup
right.
vocals are coming straight through the other ear.
Yeah, that was the cool thing
yeah.
people did.
It's a chorus. It's a, you know, call and response.
It's a cool thing people did.
So it's Simon Says. So that's a children's game, and
yeah.
that's part of this thing. So people use the term bubblegum now for any music that's sort of poppy or youthful.
Oh,
got
you.
Yeah.
And, you know, because people say, oh, well, that's bubblegum pop. And sure, like Jonas Brothers, you know,
really?
Hanson.
Okay.
But the interesting thing about the Jonas Brothers is they did have like a kids' TV show. And a lot of these musics were mixed with kids'
Got
TV
you.
Shows.
So,
Brady Bunch, Partridge Family.
Yeah, totally.
And
this is what I find interesting about this. Is this a genre that's aimed at kids? Or is this like an infantilized genre for sort of teenager-y, sort of young adults?
Both. I mean, some people claim it was aimed at kids, you know, because as we know, the preteen market is huge.
Massive,
you know,
massive.
You can be
yeah.
a huge band. And that's your only...
And in the 60s as well, that was like the first time the teenagers were sort of a thing as well, 50s and 60s.
That's right.
They were a market now.
And realizing that this group has money. And now you have to make it so their parents will want to spend
yeah.
it,
yep.
you know, so it can't be too double entendre.
So just with what you were saying before, this is something that's still coming out, you feel?
Some people will say that you can classify any sort of super manufactured
pop.
Teen pop
as bubblegum.
With hooks as bubblegum. And I will hear people use that. To sort of put down some of the mainstream pop music. Now, the British version is the Wombles.
The Wombles.
So a lot of stuff that's connected to, like, TV shows. The Monkees.
Okay, so the Monkees are bubblegum.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats. Some of these shows people might not have heard of here, Puff and Stuff and the Banana Splits. They all had hits.
This is Yummy, Yummy, Yummy by the Ohio
yummy,
Express.
Yummy,
oh, my, there it is.
Tummy,
this is a song I feel like...
Loving you.
a lot of people will know.
Yep, it's been used heaps in films.
Adverts.
Yep, ads. You know, like The Simpsons.
When we were listening to this yesterday, Amelia showed us a very weird version. I can't remember who covered it now, but it's a very, like, sort of sultry, sexy version of the song. It's so weird. It's just like a collision of things that shouldn't be together.
It is weird, this genre, because a lot of artists that you'd think wouldn't like it, like it. Like, this song's been covered by Giorgio Moroder of The Residents. One of the other songs we're going to play next, Bob Marley did a version of.
What?
So, like, you know, I think some
Julie London, that's who the weird one.
I love her.
I know, but she's done a very sultry version of this song.
I haven't heard that one.
Someone said Quick Joey Small is a way cooler song by 1910 Fruit Gum. Obviously a big fan out there.
Oh, cool.
I was interested because the 1910 Fruit Gum, they're kind of cool. Like, a lot of this stuff is not...
Oh my god.
Not very cool, but like the 1910 Fruit Gum has some quite cool songs, I reckon.
Yeah, they do rate themselves as an actual band.
Someone said it's on my 70s Goofy Greats LP.
Cute.
I mean, I just can't see a more fitting.
Yeah. Goofy Greats, that's awesome.
This is all the chord change.
Well, see, like this band, Ohio Express, aren't a real band. They have one band touring, one band in the studio, one guy singing the songs. They said
what?
Yeah.
So it is totally manufactured.
This one is manufactured. Okay. The other band. So, and they'd say they'd be on tour, and the audience would be chanting for a song, and they didn't even know that song because it had been released while they were on tour.
So the other thing that's interesting is that a lot of comics and stuff are linked to this. Is that right? So, like, you've got fictional bands making music.
Yeah.
That's bubblegum.
And vice versa. Like, the Jackson 5 and the Osmonds had cartoons.
Yeah.
And so you get this sort of mix of... music, cartoons, television, as well as advertising with the bubblegum companies. Apparently, like, the Brady Bunch did sort of
an ad campaign.
Yeah. But you think about even glam rock and ABBA or even the Ramones. Yeah. You know, there's this kind of iconic for cheesy pop.
Got it.
Yeah. This is the one
everyone knows this.
And you had a Riverdale reference before, which I did not get.
Well, this band is the Archies, and many of you will know who's in the band. Betty, Veronica, Jughead, Reggie, and Archie. Band members.
This is one of the fictional bands, basically, because it's a comic book, isn't
it? That's right.
And a TV show.
And so there is no Archie to sing. And I don't know if people remember, Betty played the tambourine. You know that girl playing the tambourine?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just there on stage shaking the tambourine.
What
this is the iconic. Lots of ads.
Oh, was it in lots? Okay.
But it was, so it's a cartoon TV show. So they're like, it's a cartoon TV show, but then they had a real world hit.
Yeah.
In the real
world.
That's
bizarre, right?
Because they were a band on the show, a high school band.
I don't know, this must be a song that someone likes that's part of a bubblegum. But they said it's called Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep by Middle of the Road.
Oh, that could be another one. Because there are, a lot of them do mention candy, chewy chewy and sweeter than sugar. And some people will say, even like Pour Some Sugar on Me, you know, rock bands later will be referencing this.
Got ya.
Anything
yeah.
about sugar and sweet and honey and she's my cherry pie.
Got ya.
This is playing with this trope.
Mm. This is interesting. Someone texted in saying the Australian pop band The Veronicas are named after Veronica from the Archie comics.
Oh my god.
And they kind of fit into that.
Yes. Yeah. See, now you're getting that weird sort of, you know, meta marketing. It's like, we know it's manufactured, but we still like it. Because who's manufacturing it? Other good producers and writers and songwriters who are actual humans. Lester Banks apparently said it's rock minus rage, fear, and violence.
Got ya.
Take out the rage, fear, and violence.
I mean, that seems a stretch. Could you not say that about a lot of genres?
Yeah, I guess.
This is one of the most, like, I think iconic probably of the whole genre. Yes, it is a Pour a Little Sugar on Me, Honey.
Yep. Oh my gosh, you're right. People here probably know Jem and the Holograms.
Another cartoon band.
So it's cartoon, it's candy.
Bloody good TV show, Jem and the Holograms. Fantastic hair.
I loved that show.
Yeah, so good.
I used to get it out on VHS. Loved it.
With their purple,
their purple
hair and their massive earrings, yeah.
Oh, I love
so
it.
Good.
And aren't they maybe Josie and the Pussycats are in Riverdale, but I'm wondering if they're making a movie of them as well.
Someone said Giorgio Moroder had his start in bubblegum. He wrote Son of My Father.
Okay.
There we go. That's interesting.
So, yeah, you find these weird links I've found with, like I said, Bob Marley did a cover of Sugar Sugar.
That's so good.
You know, because people love it. And I think the idea of having meaningless pop is important sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
And you're allowed to have fun, you know.
And even preteens, you know, like people will always diss them, you know, oh, One Direction or whatever. But, like, they're allowed to have what they like, too. You
also
know,
that,
and
yeah.
old people can't tell them what they they should and shouldn't be into.
And also, you know, they're a huge market in their own right, and they have so much clout as a demographic that, you know, if you're saying what the kids don't like is what the kids like isn't cool or whatever, I mean, you're kind of going against the tide a little bit there. You know, you're allowed to let kids like what they like.
I think sometimes people get confused when they don't like something.
Yes.
You know, that they're like, oh, well, no one can like this. Yeah, but it's okay not to like it too.
That's true. And you can like what you
and
like.
And lots of silliness. People will put other sort of, well, there was a big novelty song burst in the early 60s, mm-hmm. and then with this more. So there's a Snoopy and the Red versus the Red Baron. Apparently Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead actually was released as a song.
Snoopy and the Red Baron is like Christmas in my household.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I like the organ. You know, they hear that sort of organ and the choruses and the backing vocals and the simple chords, you know, because I don't know if anyone's ever tried to play Stevie Wonder music on the piano, but, you know, you got your C-sharp ninth, sevenths and stuff, you know, and this is just back to that super basic. Sometimes it's called sunshine pop. You can reference toys. You can have nonsense words, the sha-la-la, shang-a-lang.
Someone said Laughing Gnome by Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you're
kind
right.
It's bubblegum, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
And it is kind of a play on like a cartoon sort of character. Yeah, so it's hugely influential. So it seems like this weird insignificant, but a lot of rock stars like it. And whether they were just playing it because, you know, that's how you get famous is you start off doing something you don't like, or you just like it because...
Why not?
Yeah.
Mm. It's fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Just,
and
you know, own
is
it.
Fun the ultimate rebellion? You know, is tuning out and just wanting rubbish the ultimate rebellion?
Ultimate rebellion. Hey, thank you very much for bringing us bubblegum this
week,
Kirsten.
Next week is two-tone.
Two-tone.
Two-tone ska.
Nice. All right.
I don't know what that is, I don't think.
Oh, you will when you hear
you
it.
Will.
You will when you hear it. Thanks, Kirsten. We'll see you next week.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Bubblegum.